At what level of depth do you want to own truth? I'll ask a question again. At what level of depth do you want to know truth? Because that's really what we're talking about in the schools and all this. I know this is very personal, and I'm not trying to build something around me, but it's the passion that God gave me for truth that insists that I must understand the core of major ideas. I want depth. I want to be able to produce the change that ideas say they can produce. I want to be able to make the truth work to the point that it produces what it promises. As some of you know, I got injured as an athlete, was on my way, I believe, to being a professional football player. And that was a huge transition for me. And of course, it led into my involvement in the civil rights movement and a lot of social issues. But I discovered something that I didn't really know before, and that is that I have a brain. I have a mind. All my energy was in my body as an athlete, and then the Lord began to awaken me intellectually. And that gave me an opportunity to deal with the question of how deep do I want to know this stuff? Is this for grades? Am I studying for grades, or am I studying for something much more important than grades? Am I studying for understanding? And really, all the material that you've seen that I've produced, and of course, others have contributed to me in the journey. But you'll notice Doing Business God's Way deals with master principles. Master principles. I was also heavily influenced by the Japanese. I burned through Western philosophy, and when the fusion of existentialism and Marxism did not take place in 68 with Sartre, Marcuse, that was the end of Western philosophy. Now, that doesn't mean much to many of you, but to those of us that were really trying to study again the depth of where Western civilization and Western philosophy was going to go, it was a change for me. And I said, well, if the West doesn't have the depth I'm after, maybe it's in the East. So I went towards Eastern mysticism to some degree. And then I found a Japanese karate studio and had been curious about karate anyway, and began to train, and I found me. I found a me on another level, and I found a me epistemologically. Everybody say epistemology, so it won't bite you. Epistemology. What is epistemology? It's the study of how we learn. And if you really care about learning and you really care about depth, and if you're a parent, you know, somebody like KJ just doesn't accidentally happen. Maybe you figured that out. I said, if I ever have children, this is a dropped out of graduate studies, which again was very disillusioning for me. I said, if I ever have children, I'll educate them myself. I don't trust the system. The system says it is going to teach me how to think, and that's a lie. What they want to do is teach me how to give back the answers that they want me to give them and make sure that I don't cause a problem because of that. Can I get a witness? So my whole, what I want to do with the time we have is demonstrate the epistemology of learning by going for core concepts and sorting out the core from the manifestation, but not necessarily the core. It is 12 master principles. By the way, I've spent more than 40 years diligently trying to find major principles in the human affairs world, and especially in the realms of political economics, because that became my passion. How does all this work? How do the systems work? Why did Marx take the position he did? Why is it that we're still bothering with socialism when there's not a single country in the history of the world that has ever profited with socialism? Why are we still dealing with that? What's mad? Are we crazy? The results are maintained the same, and by every standard of growth, we'll never produce a middle class, which means we'll never have economic freedom for any number of people until we get rid of what ideas are causing the same crash again and again and again. And by the way, I'm not pushing capitalism. I'm pushing what I call choice-based economics, which is several iterations down the road from the left-right game. How many of you know we're trapped in the left-right game? And until we get out of that game, the passion that we have to see people prosper and grow in freedom, it's not going to happen. If that doesn't concern you, then I want to suggest to you that we need to go back to the greatest commandment of love God with all your resource and love your neighbors yourself. And I think we have a major problem in loving our neighbor as ourselves. And what does that mean? What does it mean systemically? What are the systems that God wants us to be able to be used by him? Because our character won't get exploded if we get some success. We want to be able to bring to the world in the kingdom the principles that are there by core and not by symptoms. That's why the business school, which was the initial foundation of my teaching on basic economics, is about master principles of economics. And I'm really grateful and excited for those of you that have begun the journey of how deep do you want to go on owning the truth. I don't own truth until it's a part of me. And that's a wonderful thing. So master principle number one, God's the creator of private property. God models everything he wants from his children. He's not a leader that says, do as I do or do as I say, don't worry about what I do. That's whole book of Hebrews is all about God in Christ manifesting all the things he wants to reproduce in you and I. One of the huge problems we have right now is we preach the gospel of salvation at a very low level, I might add, rather than the gospel of the kingdom of God. Satan began with the accusation that God is immature and afraid to share knowledge. That is the greatest lie ever conceived. God's statement about how he feels in sharing knowledge is called the cross of Calvary. God died to demonstrate how committed he was that you and I as a part of his family, because God's a family man, that you and I, a part of his family, will be able to co-share the created order with him. which means God wants all of us to find areas of mastery. How many of you believe God just might be a master at what he does? He's not just good. He's not just an expert. He's a master. If you've ever known anybody that had mastery of any activity or intellectual concepts, mastery is the name of the game. That's as good as it gets in terms of really understanding the nature of something, is the mastery of how to use that something. So God is the creator of private property. The Marxist belief, literally, and I studied Marxism deep. I'm always disappointed when I find a Marxist that maybe wants to go five rounds. Let's talk about Marxism. And my disappointment is I haven't found many that really want to do it. We never answered the accusation against private property and capitalism. And that bothered me. That's why I said to the Lord, I've got to deal with that one quick. And again, what the Holy Spirit said was, if owning things is a sin, I'm the chief of sinners. Hello. The accusation on the left is that property is something that reveals the disequilibrium, that the whole idea of having people that have more property than other people have is something, that there's something wrong in that. And the statement that God makes about that is that he gives us stewardship and sees what we do with stewardship before the issue of the amount of assets is even discussed. Or put another way, and in the so-called third world, I say this everywhere, if you want a car, take care of the bicycle that God's given you. And if you're not taking care of the bicycle, don't, you know, go before the Lord too hard on going after a car until he says, all right, you're now ready for another level of stewardship. Are you breathing? Everybody okay? We do understand that our Father, rich and poor, is not an issue to him unless there's some injustice in it. It's not about rich and poor. It's about how much can you care for and bring increase to what you have. The New Testament is filled with Christ making that same point over and over and over. What are you doing with what I gave you? And of course, we live in a world where thou shalt covet is really the main event. How much, you know, we worry about sexuality and a lot of that stuff, and I believe in holiness. But we are so laced and loaded, especially with forced consumption, which we're doing to keep the economic machine going. We're so pushing the whole issue of jealousy for what others may have, that because we want at least that kind of a level and maybe more. Now, I know none of us in this room would ever be susceptible to covetousness, but I just think we might take a look at that commandment and search it out for what it might mean. We grow by caring for people and things. In a fallen world, there's only one question. How do we accomplish permanent change? Hello. Again, we agree in this. We're looking for core things that we can build off of. What is more core than discovering how we grow? You guys are really quiet. We grow through stewardship. That's what business is more about than any other single thing, is discovering the secret of growth, and that is investing our energy and our resources into other people. We grow by caring for people and things. We want the benefits of blessing and the benefits of material goods. And we don't understand that the benefit is learning how to serve others and discovering that in serving others, God's payment is greater investments in us. And making sure, by the way, that the investments he makes aren't harmful. You can have things happening for you that are blessings, but the test that God is doing with you in that moment is seeing the limits of where you're trying to manage more than you can manage well and going off into anxiety in whatever way you might go off into anxiety. I want to know, how do I grow? I grow by caring for others. The secret of financial success is caring for others. And that's, again, very basic. Principle number three, all lasting wealth comes through the family unit and is built generationally. All sustainable wealth comes through the family unit. As Solomon was moaning about what was going to happen to all the assets that he'd accumulated, I mean, he's bitter. He's bitter because he doesn't know what's going to happen to the wealth that he's accumulated, which tells us that unfortunately Solomon, like his dad David, was not very good with the family. David was not a family man. And the family, the way that he managed it, and I'm not, you know, David was a great man, but he wasn't a family man. Solomon was a great man, but he wasn't a family man. Because of you to have generational accumulation, which, by the way, if we had time, lots of giant rabbit holes here, is to really talk about where of the great families in the history of the earth, how long have they lasted? How did they create dynasties? Let's do something really simple. How do you like what inflation does to the ability to have children that can own homes? You can't have a home now unless your parents have got enough money to invest the down payment. And by the way, the ones that have got money in, you know, hard times like we went through in the Depression, that's where the massive amounts of money accumulate, is when you've got playing money when others don't. And that's, you know, part of what it's really tragic right now. And we're going backwards in families where the kids are coming and they have to live again with the parents. The way we managed the whole issue of economics had tremendous implications to the family. The nature of labor. Work, number four. Work is a holy, everlasting calling. If work is a holy, everlasting calling, then why do we Christians create heaven, which is retirement for the remainder of your being? That is a shameful unreality of the nonsense that we preached out there, that we die and go into, you know, running around in long white sheets and boring each other forever with our testimonies. I really do want to hear your story, but not eternally. Not eternally. And as to being in a white sheet, there's a lot of us that would be highly offensive. Say the least. Some of you know what I just said. How can, you know, you wish, we have to try to come up with the stupidity of things that we said. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy. The essence of our gospel in Christ, the essence of meaning, is that God, as a parent, wants his children to join him and share his nature and skill sets, and that we would be building with God eternally, caring for the created order. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have not given that to the nations. When I was at Berkeley, you wouldn't have wanted to witness to me. How many of you believe I might be a nightmare to witness to? Oh, and they'd give me the gospel, and then I would say, well, if I become a Christian, will I be like you? And then I would say, no thanks. If there was a God, he can't be so crazy as to make sure the distance between his kids and him is safe. His pressing towards you and me is to give us as much as we are able to manage at any given time and no more. I want to say that again. All the stuff we go through is designed by him to push us closer to the limits of what we can manage without becoming unable to sleep at night or get trapped in ways that we're not investing time in our spouse or our children or in our covenant brothers and sisters that we are supposed to be investing time with, which creates an interesting question. Are you stuck? And if you are stuck, why are you stuck? Because God doesn't want you stuck. He doesn't want me stuck. And if I am stuck, he wants me to go to him and find out, why are you keeping me stuck in XYZ? Because I know that you want me to grow. What are the obstacles that are keeping me from growing in the way you want me to grow? Now, the business school deals with really simple stuff like, this is not about teaching you how to get rich. You're not going to come to the business school and be taught how to get rich. You'll come to the business school and get a much more valuable idea, which is understanding the business and what your ministry in that realm is all about, is the management by the Holy Spirit of your growth patterns and what you can do in handling growth. I thank God that we serve a God who hears and doesn't answer prayer. Think of some of the dumb prayers that we've all prayed, and then come before the Lord and say, mercy, mercy, mercy. Thank you, Father, that you did not answer that prayer. One of the things in the school you'll get is how to pray prayers that God will answer. Labor, again, back to that, work is a holy calling. Probably many of you know that the Hebrew word for work and worship, avodah, is the same word. When I'm doing what God created me to be and do, that is worship. And it doesn't have anything to do with destroying the irritation of labor that I don't know whoever put on, gave themselves the excuse to teach that when we go into eternity, nasty work is over. No more work. So what do we do if there's no more work? What are we going to be spending our time in doing? Okay. Do you ever ask yourself questions like that? I don't mean to be irritating up here. I'm just poking to say, what we're after is understanding the way Father works and what he wants to do with us. Because until we get that, begin to master that, we're not going to know how to raise our children or how to raise our grandchildren or how to care for employees that God might want to give us, because the relationships, because it's all relational anyway. Everybody, I hope, knows this game is all relational. Okay. You come to the business school because God wants to take your ability to relate to other people and help release what God has put into them, not so you can make more money, but so that you can begin to relate to people the way God relates to people. Now we're talking about why you should come to the business school. Because emulating God is what the game is all about. Wish we could talk more about labor. Master Principle 5, service is the foundation of all lasting growth. Lasting growth, there's a word called sustainability. How long could we meet here were we to have a discussion around global finance, condition of nations, monetary fiscal policy, talk about all that stuff relative to sustainability? How would we not want to go to the core of, Father, how do we create sustainability? That's an art, a skill set that the Holy Spirit has. Oh, Lord, help me here. What if the Holy Spirit really was sent to do what Jesus said, which is lead us into all truth? I pray in tongues probably as much as anybody in this room. I love to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues gives my poor brain a break. I don't know what it does for you, but praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, I'm trapped in here. But sustainability. How's your marriage? How sustainable are your relationships? Again, the question is, how deep do we want to go? How much do we want to know and understand why God wants us to know? And it has a lot more to do than making more money. What about God pays for what he orders? That's trust. Where are your trust levels with God? Anybody that goes into business, and I know many of you are in business, how is your trust, how are your trust limits? Do you think maybe a few million people got into trust limits at COVID-19? Hello. Oh, Lord Jesus. In many ways, it was so unfair. How many of you know God is beyond fair? He's very intelligent, but he doesn't know how to spell fair. Okay. What did you get out of COVID? It was a mountain of experience. A lot of anxiety for all of us. Serious anxiety. Serious death. Did we have enough trust that we were not barricaded with fear? How many of you know you can't grow unless there's trust? What did we get? What did we get out of that? That's a chapter in the business school. God pays what he orders. Thank God. You know what that is? That's the principle of safety. Anybody besides me ever handled more money than you could handle? How many of you think God might be guarding you from resources that you wouldn't be able to handle? And that's the last thing you want to do, is look for resource levels to go beyond your core relationships. When I run into somebody from the business school in year one, I frequently ask them, what did you get? And they many times say the same thing. I haven't learned how to make more money, but my marriage is totally changed. And I clap. That's what we have in the business school, is the reality of measuring your skill set levels first relationally by the key relationships in your life. So if you're in there looking for making more money, that may happen, but it would only be because God wants to trust you and see what growth levels he can do. I'm so glad that he pays what he orders. It's uncomfortable. Makes you wait. It actually can take away some of your dreams that are maybe premature or resting on something that God doesn't want you resting on yet in terms of amount. Number seven, the possibility of failure is essential. Everybody say essential. Don't you just love it? Failure is essential for human growth. How many of you besides me, I've learned obedience by the things I suffered? Jesus tested in all points like unto us. Exposed to failure. And failure can be more than anything else an attitude. The way we respond to something is the greater failure. Not that the something that we're focusing on is that we want to get rid of it. God wants us to see how we handle a failure. How long do we live with a failure? Anybody besides me ever made a failure and you lived with it for a while? And you prayed, Lord, let me get through this quickly. And the Holy Spirit is saying, and you just can't hear him saying, no, we're going to stay here for a while. I want you to learn some stuff here. I don't want to move from where you are. I want to bring you to the place, Dennis, that you will never do that again. And that may take longer than you think it should. But then, this is the Lord speaking. Who am I? I'm just God. Thank you for your opinion as to how long I should be, dragging something or someone that I don't want to be doing that with. Okay? Six. Good. I'm almost done. Eight. Ideas and actions have economic consequences. How many of you know ideas have consequences? Don't need to be told again, 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 or again that there's no such, some ideas, there's no way to get them back. And there, especially if you set a course in that direction. Now that raises a lot of stuff in the business school about how do I know when to expand. When do I know when to scale? One of the things we teach is that businesses are like the seasons. When I go into spring, I don't harvest. I harvest in the harvest. The last thing I want to do is throw new seed on old seed and quench what it is I'm doing. So a whole bunch of discussions in there relative to seeing how the rhythms in the way God creates and manages, how that affects your career and how that affects your businesses, if you'll look at it and let it happen. Here's another fun one. Number 9, men are not equal. And economic redistribution cannot change that fact, Jack. We're not born equal. Everybody in here is different and superior to everybody in here in something God gave you as a gift. Okay. Now, we want equality under the law. Listen, I'm very committed to justice and all that stuff. But, you know, if you're not 7 feet and weigh 300 pounds, you'll never compete in the NBA against anybody that's that big. You can say whatever you want to say, but in many, 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 many different ways, we're not equal. And that I'm not looking at injustice, please. Let's get our thinking a little bit above that we tend to put on everything. Society is not going to make us equal unless and until we have equal opportunity and equal time and equal support systems. Any one of those things that is missing, you're going to have different results. And that is what it is. Number 10, biblical government is essential for productivity. That would be one we'd need to get into macroeconomics and public policy and managing budgets and all that kind of stuff. But biblical government is essential for long-term productivity. And if it's not malfunctioning, we're not going to have long-term productivity. Christians, number 11, must live as disciples, renew their minds, come together in unity to execute God's plan for the nations. Are we living as disciples? And have you got discipleship built into your business? If we did a discipling check, what would we find? Where's the layering going on of people, again, and this comes back to our prayer life, God wants to show us what he's doing with our employees. You are shepherding them. If this is doing business God's way, you're shepherding them in the organization. And if you'll let him do that through you, he will tell you where employees are going. It's like magic, so that you will be ready to help them when they get there. What level do you want God to be involved in your business? Do you want that kind of sensitivity to the people there you're working? And when you go through that door in the morning, who are you? Are you going to work, or are you going to where God is using you to change lives? And how do we show up? We want to make sure we show up ready to change lives. And lastly, number 12, we want to discover root structures and build out from roots, not symptoms. So I love the business school. A lot of stuff in there is not mine. And even the stuff that is mine is not mine. How many of you know that anything you got that is really clear, you got it from the Holy Spirit? And to think you got it anywhere else is going to get you in trouble. I pray that some of you that are wondering about the business school, the thing that you would get out of what I've tried to do, which I know has maybe been a little bumpy, is get you to see what God wants to do through you and with you through your engagement in the business community. That is the main event. How is God going to use my involvement in this situation with these people, some of whom God wants to help change them through you and have them change you to serve God? Again, it's all answers or ask the question, how deep do you want to know the game? How deep do you want to know and master truth so that you can use those things that God shows you to make a difference for people? So I think that's probably where we'll stop. God bless you.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.